Our announcements for today, evening service today at 5:30, and I believe Joe is going to be doing our message tonight, okay, so we appreciate that also. South Texas Children's Home Ministry, we are collecting canned and paper goods for South Texas Children's Home Ministry. We will collect until next Sunday, the 31st. There's a list of items needed at the Welcome Center. Items can be put in the wooden box by the Welcome Center. You'll see a big stack of stuff that we already have here, just add to it. Okay, next Sunday, the 31st, is our fifth Sunday singing at 5:30 p.m. with Ice Cream Fellowship to follow. So I hope you're here. Come, lift up the Lord's name and praise through music, and then we'll go enjoy some good fellowships and some good ice cream. So please join us that night. Okay. Also, if you'd like to sing a solo or if you have a duet, trio, whatever you'd like to do, the sign-up sheet's there. I'm going to take it with me this afternoon so I can start kind of planning out for next week. So fill that out. If you have any favorite hymns you want to go ahead and put down, those that fill that out with the hymns, we'll do those hymns first, and then we'll take calls from the congregation that night if you want to call stuff out. So we'll be using our hymn books next Sunday night. Okay. Also, on August 3rd, the church is hosting the teacher's luncheon for Jackson County. There's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center if you can volunteer to help out. Okay, and I think there is also one at the Sunday school classes today, too. But if you missed that at the Welcome Center, please sign up to help with the teacher's luncheon on August 3rd. Okay, and read your bulletin for any other information. And also, if you're a visitor, we do have a tear-out tab in here that we would like for you to fill out and drop in the offering plate for us, too, if you would do that for us. Okay, and now we will have Ike Peterson, our deacon, come up and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Oh, Father, what a privilege and blessing you grant us to bow before you this morning and come to you in prayer. Lord, we love you. We beg, dear God, that your name would be high and lifted up this morning. Nothing would distract us from giving you all our worship. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice made that we might have forgiveness of sin. Lord, the glorious resurrection which you allow us to share, where we have hope above many others. Lord, if there be one here today, maybe one or more in our city, the Lord has lost and without hope, we pray that some way, somehow, Lord, you draw the lost to yourself, save their soul. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, that gift, your gift of grace, your sweet Holy Spirit that you give to come and live within us, our helper. Lord, we lift up to you this, your church, and pray, dear God, that it will be a bright light in a dark community, dark county, dark state. Lord, we might sense the urgency to be bold and share the gospel wherever your spirit gives opportunity. And to you be the glory. Lord, we lift up to you Brother Walter. We thank you for him, his family, for him coming. And ask your Holy Spirit to anoint him this morning as he brings a message you've laid upon his heart. Lord, when we leave this place, may we know we've been in your presence. Save the lost. Lord, we lift up to you Brother Robert, Sister Laura, in their time of off, and ask your God that your spirit would bless, give them rest, guide and direct them. Lord, we know that you're the giver of all things, and we do pray, asking you to give us rain on our dry land. Guide and direct us in the remainder of this time, Father. Please help our focus be upon you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand and sing with us, Open Up the Heavens. We've waited for this day, we've gathered in your name, we're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, with burning desire, will burn our hearts with truth.
You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we need to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart. Your presence in this place, with glory on our face, we're looking to the skies. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, where Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the floodgates, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see you, so open up the heavens. We want to see you, open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart and living every part of our praise. Sing, open up the heavens. We want to see you, open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. We sing.
Okay, amen.
Amazing. amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Okay.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon, it's a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. With everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you gotta hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemy. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Amen. Okay, our next song will be Nothing But the Blood. If you're going to use your hymn book at hymn number 135, we'll be singing the first, second, and fourth verse.
What it was sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can be here this morning and worship you in truth because of the grace that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for this church, Father, for the message that we proclaim that Christ is Lord. We ask now, Father, that you would bless this time of worship when we give back to you our tithes and our offerings. May it be used to further your kingdom here, to bless our community, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kind love's available. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to God, the thing I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light.
Shine your light and the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good to be back with you this morning. I want you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 1 again. We looked at the first half of this chapter last Sunday, so we'll look at the rest of it this morning. Robert Ballard is a man who wanted to find the Titanic. On September the 1st, way back in 1985, he found the ship in the North Atlantic, more than 350 miles off the coast of Newfoundland. He said it this way: "My first direct view of Titanic lasted less than 2 minutes, but the stark sight of her immense hull towering above the ocean floor will remain forever ingrained in my memory. My lifelong dream was to find this great ship, and during the past 13 years, the quest for her has dominated my life." What is it that dominates your life? What's the reason for which you live? What would you say is the purpose for which you live? Now, last week we looked at the first half of chapter 1 and saw what Paul said at the end of verse 20 when he said that his desire was that whether it is by life or by death, Jesus would be exalted in his life. So now we come to this amazing statement in verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here's what I think if Paul were to have elaborated a bit more, like he typically does, on that one verse, that he might have said something like this: "Personally, in living, everything I am, everything I have, everything I do will be for the purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus. And death will be a plus, the icing on the cake. It will be sheer gain for me, because with death, I will then be in the very literal presence of my Christ, for whom I live and owe everything." That's the way Paul thought. So let me ask you this question: how would you personally write verse 21? If I would have sent ahead some notes for the bulletin and written it in your bulletin this way: "For to me to live is in a blank space, and to die is in another blank space." How would you fill in the blanks? That is, in one verse, one brief sentence, the essence of your life's purpose. Filling in those two blanks, whether you write it on your own in your bulletin, whether you just begin to wrestle with it in your mind, you are answering the question, for what purpose do I live? And if it's, you know, in fact, a little difficult to answer that question with solid answers, then we'll just look at the rest of chapter 1 and see three things that I think can help you find purpose for your life, all right? So, number one, live to lead others to Jesus. Look what Paul says next after this great statement of verse 21. In verse 22, he says, "But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me." See, after this great statement of verse 21, Paul begins to build upon it. And part of what he says next is this explanation. It's almost like, and this is the way Paul was, it just seems like now he begins to write out what his mind begins to think. He's kind of talking out loud, thinking out loud, so to speak, as he builds upon verse 21. If I am to live on, it just sort of sounds like Paul was expecting the very possibility of his death in the near future. If I am to live on. See, none of us are promised tomorrow. So if you have tomorrow, if I have tomorrow, what's the goal for the day? Paul says, fruitful labor. Time that would not be wasted. Time that would be well spent for Christ. Now, it's not an arrogant statement. Paul's not making some kind of Lone Ranger announcement that he's the only one that's really doing anything productive. Paul is just speaking from his heart about his personal purpose for living. It's to lead others to Christ. Lost people to a saving knowledge of Jesus and Christians to a closer walk with Jesus. Fruitful labor, productive Christian ministry. And here's the great thing about this, folks. Productive Christian ministry is any ministry done by any Christian at any place and at any time and gives glory to Jesus. So it's living to minister. But it's interesting what Paul says next, the last part of verse 22 through verse 24. He says, "And I do not know which to choose, but I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Paul finds himself in a real dilemma. On one hand, he's really ready to leave this old cruel world behind and get on with the glory of heaven in the presence of Jesus. And now, I don't blame him for wanting that. I mean, he's old, he's tired, he's worn out, he's been abused, he's sitting in prison. I mean, why not? On the other hand, there are still many people to be taught, many people to be encouraged, many people to be won to Christ. In our way of saying it today, Paul might say, "I'm between a rock and a hard place." The word he uses here for depart is a great word. He's talking about his death, and the word he uses was used in several different arenas. Among soldiers, it was the word that was used to meant to break camp, take the tents down, and move on. Of sailors, it was the word used about untying the boat from the dock and setting sail. It was also used of the time when a prisoner would be set free. Paul uses it to speak of dying and being in the presence of Christ. So, to go or to stay. For Paul, both were productive and beneficial. For us as believers, if you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to see it all as a win-win situation. Too many times when you talk to somebody and say, "Well, how are you doing?" "Well, this and this and this, but it's better than the alternative." No, it's not. No, it's not. The alternative is the presence of Jesus for the believer. This is so much better than the here and now. However, I want you to see the heart of Paul in this. Verses 24 through 26. He says, "Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Now get this. For the sake of others, for the sake of others, other believers, others who will come to faith in Christ through his ministry, Paul is willing to fight to continue to live. In other words, put off heaven for others. That's the heart of Paul. Paul had an incredible ministry. He had started churches. He had led people to Christ. God was using him to grow believers in the faith. What an important ministry he had. Now, here's something you need to know. You need to get this. You have an important ministry also. Every single one of you. God wants to use you in the same way. Maybe there's a young person in this room today that God may raise up and call out to be a church planter somewhere. Maybe there's somebody in this room that God has been dealing with your life and God's calling you out to go to the mission field. Some of you have been leading people to Jesus, and so there are others who will come to know Christ because you share about faith with them. Some of you are great encouragers, and some of you are teachers, and you're building up and you're growing the body of this church. Your ministry is just as important as the Apostle Paul's was. Your purpose in life is to lead others to Jesus. And I can't emphasize that enough. You have a wonderful purpose, and that purpose somehow to lead others to Christ. So the rest of today, this evening, tomorrow, every day you have from now on, see it as a chance to lead others to Christ. That's a great purpose for living. Number two, live to show the gospel. Verses 27 and 28. He says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Now, what does he mean? Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's a simple truth that we all know and we've all heard. People are watching you and me. So, the question is, what kind of Jesus do they see? What kind of gospel do they read from your life? I love the commentaries by Warren Wiersbe. He has a great way of writing, a very simple way of making things clear. And in one of his commentaries, is one on the book of Philippians, he wrote this: the greatest weapon against the enemy is not a stirring sermon or a powerful book. It is the consistent life of believers. He goes on with this poem. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? How we live is an example of what we believe and who we believe in. And let me take that a step further to how we started these thoughts this morning. What our purpose is in life is exampled in how we live. There is evidence of our ministry. Paul says to the Philippians that if he can't witness it firsthand, he at least wants to be able to hear about it. Listen, word gets out. I remember some years ago when I was pastoring a last church I was in, a friend of mine who is now in North Carolina, we pastored in the same area of North Central Texas back in the mid-90s. He's now in North Carolina, and he wanted our newsletter, so we'd send it to him. And he called me one day, and he said, I really want to make a trip back to Texas to see your church just from what I hear about it in the newsletter. Listen, folks, word gets out. People hear about what's going on in our lives, in our churches, evidence of the ministry. And so there are two things that Paul desires to know of the believers. Now, he wrote these directly to the church, the believers in Philippi, but it still rings true for us today. And realize that when we're living this way, when this becomes a part of our purpose, it does some very powerful things. It shows, first of all, the lost that Jesus is real. It builds up the faith of believers. It strengthens the church against the attacks of the enemy who wants to get between you and destroy your fellowship, and you need to hear that. Here's what Paul says. Stand firm in one spirit. There is great strength for us as individuals and for you as a church family when you stand united. He then says, with one mind, strive together for the gospel. Now, Paul is using some athletic terms when he says this. It's sort of like a football team. You know, we're beginning to see commercials about the upcoming football season, which one of the things that does in me is go, yay, that means cooler weather may be coming, right? You know, we pray, you know, we have summer and not quite summer. I'm ready for not quite summer. But he uses this idea of the team concept where everybody on the team plays a part in the accomplishing the goal for the team. So it's like a football team. It's like the offensive side of the ball for the football team. Everybody on the offensive side has a role to play for the team to accomplish its goal, which is to march down the field and score the touchdown. Well, let's just say, for example, what would happen if the quarterback is, you know, usually he's the hot shot, and let's say the quarterback was really getting full of himself and, you know, believing his own news clippings and all the things being said about him, and the offensive line kind of gets tired of it because they're not getting any of the credit for all the protection they're giving him to, you know, complete the passes he's making and open up the line for the running backs and that kind of thing. And so they just decide they're going to change things up one play during the game. And so they decide, okay, Mr. Hotshot, let's see if you're all that. And so the center hikes the ball to the quarterback, and then the offensive line just all stands aside. It wouldn't go too well for the quarterback now, would it? It's the same way the church is to operate. There wouldn't be any progress for the football team. It's the same way in the faith. We all need each other. You as the local church body are a team. More than that, a family. And when a church stands firm, united, striving together to accomplish the holy calling of the gospel, all hell cannot stop what God can do. It's that important. Together, you can accomplish much for the glory of God, benefiting believers with encouragement and help and leading the lost to Christ, which Paul adds here is only from God himself. It's the cause of the gospel, and it's our calling. It's our purpose. Live to lead others to Jesus. Live to show the gospel. Then the last thing he says, live to know Christ, verses 29 and 30. He says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. You know, this is live to know Christ. This is just an emphasis for life. As every day goes by of every year of our life, we ought to know Christ more and more. It's not just about getting saved and making sure that you know you're on your way to heaven and then coasting through life until eternity starts. That's not what the Christian life is to be about. I mean, good grief, we have enough people doing that already. This is, you know, that's not what it's to be about. There's no purpose in that. I remember hearing a preacher one time in a sermon make the comment that he thinks one of the biggest problems in churches today is that most of the members of the church haven't been reached. Typically, the first step in outreach is to reach your membership in too many places. You know, just got that assurance of heaven and now of salvation and coasting toward heaven. I mean, good grief. Live your life with the purpose of knowing Jesus more and more. Now, it's not that everybody needs to strive to become a biblical scholar. That's not the point of it. It's like the pastor I grew up under, Brother Billy Crosby, used to say, it's just to fall in love with Jesus over and over again. That's the need, to know Christ more. Now, take verse 29. It's interesting. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. What he means is this. Conflict in the life of a child of God and being attacked by the world is a gift. That's encouraging, isn't it? Yeah, that'll set you free. Woo-hoo-hoo. If we're doing things that because of who we are and what we do, we're being hassled for it. We're having a hard time, but we're doing it ourselves. That's no privilege. I mean, doing stupid things, making bad decisions, not living surrendered to Jesus, and in that we're having problems. Don't call that persecution. That's just consequences of being spiritually stupid. Let's be honest. It's like the, you know, you see the person driving down the road in their car and It's an old beat-up car. The front right side is all banged in, and the back passenger window's broken out, and there's cardboard in it. And you know, the back left side bumper's dinged in. One wheel is the little tiny spare tire that goes on, and the car goes down the road kind of like this. And it's got a bumper sticker on it that says, "Look what God has done for me." God didn't do that. You're just a terrible driver who can't keep up with maintenance. Take the bumper sticker off the car. When we are having a difficult time in life and we take an inventory and acknowledge the bad decisions we're making are our own fault, you know, I mean, don't blame that on God. And then also don't claim that it's spiritual warfare. It's not spiritual warfare. I remember a deacon at a church I was in one time. He lived on a country road that had a right at a curve, and he lived here. And so every weekend, he would out by the ditch by his entryway, there'd be garbage. There'd be people flinging their trash out. And he'd go out and pick it up. And I remember him one time teaching about this and saying that, you know, it was this persecution for his Christian life. And I'm thinking, dude, you just lived in a convenient spot where centrifugal force took trash further away. Those people don't even know you live there. Don't claim that spiritual warfare. He was so thrilled because one day some of the garbage had some mail in it, and so he was able to find out who was doing it. But hey, you just lived in a convenient place, man. That had nothing to do with spiritual warfare. See, when we live in contrast to what the Bible says, or when we're living our life making all our own decisions, and then we end up on hard times, that's not warfare. We've given in to the enemy in that. He doesn't have to do battle with us. We're living his way already, and the consequences are just natural outcomes of bad decisions. But when we are living for Jesus, to give him glory, to make sure the world knows that he is alive and is alive in us, and we suffer for that, Paul says that's an honor. And friends, our culture is pressing in more and more on us. And that's going to be the case if you're living for Christ. Rejoice when trials come, he says. In verse 30, he says, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. The word conflict is a word that means agony. Paul had been through it. Read the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. You'll see all that Paul had been through. And now here, remember, he's in jail now because of it. Paul's suffering was directly because he was living for Jesus. Remember what he said, verse 13, we looked at it last week? For my imprisonment in the cause of Christ. He's there because he lived so abandoned to Jesus. In verse 20, remember, he said that Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Jesus suffered for our benefit. When we go through a time of suffering because of our love for him, give him glory. Give him glory. In the process of living to make Jesus known, there are going to be those who are not as thrilled with it as we are. That's the way the world works. There will be those who will in some form or fashion persecute you for living your life with the purpose of honoring the Lord Jesus and putting him first in everything. Well, and you know, it's the old saying, just keep on keeping on. Keep on living for Jesus. That's the goal. That's having a purpose for your life. See, the process we go through where there's difficulty will bring us closer to Christ. We'll come to know him more. Why? Because we begin to depend upon him more. We'll be drawn to love him more. That will cause us to desire to share him more. That will cause us to desire to show him more. That will cause us to have more of a desire to make him more known. To have our life be one that just makes much of Jesus. So fill in the blanks. For to me, to live is what? And to die is what? For what purpose have you set forth to live? I want to encourage you today. Well, if you know the Lord, then make it your purpose to just live more for him. If you're here today and you haven't found a purpose for life, you think purpose for life is all about yourself, oh, let me encourage you, that's an empty life to live. Make Jesus the purpose for which you live. Maybe today is that day. Maybe you're a little bit dissatisfied with the way life's been going. Why? Because your only purpose has been selfishness. And I encourage you today to begin to make it selflessness and make Jesus the purpose for which you live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for your word, for what it teaches us and what it shows us and how it gives us direction and hope and purpose for living. This example from the Apostle Paul and how he lived his life and how you call us to the same purpose. So I pray, first of all, for believers in this room today, and I imagine it's the majority of people here, that more and more they will begin to make Jesus the reason for which they live. This community needs to see that now more than ever before. And for that person who may be in here today, Lord, whose sole purpose for living has been all about themselves, and they keep coming up empty and unsatisfied, then I pray today might be the day that they would make Jesus their Lord and Savior and the purpose for which they live. And so in a moment, Father, as we stand and have this time of invitation, Brother Joe McClanahan will be right here at the front. If there's someone who is ready to commit their life to Christ, Lord, give them the courage to come forward. All they'll have to say to Joe is, I need Jesus. He understands what that means. We'll be able to help them answer questions and help them as they understand how to commit their life to you. Father, maybe there's someone in this building today that you're calling out to a new service for their life. Maybe they want to make that public by asking the church to pray for them. Father, I pray you'd give them the courage and the boldness to come and just to share what you're doing in their life. Maybe it's folks that just need to come to the altar and surrender completely. So whatever it is you need to do in us, Lord, what we need to have done in us and what only you can do, Father, I pray you would do that during this time and give us the courage and boldness to be obedient to you. And for that, I thank you and praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior, I pray. Let's stand together. We have this time of invitation as God's dealing with you in your life. You need to come. For some reason, whatever it may be, you come as we sing.
Okay, and we kind of had a tag team during that. Brother Kenneth will be down here to read anybody that needs to.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your
sing the second verse. The altar is open here if anybody needs to come and pray, lay anything upon Jesus. Okay, if you need to come up and speak to Brother Kenneth, I'm sure he'll be glad to pray with you. Dr. Jackson also. Do whatever God's laying on your heart. All right, sing the second verse.
If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open. Darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time.
Father, Lord, we just thank you for the day that we've had in your house. Father, we just thank you for the gift of music that we can use it to praise your holy name. Father, we just thank you for the message that Dr. Jackson brought to us today. Father, we hope that we had ears to hear. And Father, we ask that you bring us back tonight and the message that you've laid on Brother Joe's heart to bring to us. Father, go with us this day and keep us safe and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing the chorus to Oh, Victory in Jesus. Bless and have a great week.